Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we will resume our studies of benedictions in the Bible. The benedictions in the Bible are lovely. The Apostle Paul particularly makes use of benedictions. It just seems that he cannot close his epistles without just bringing down upon those to whom he is writing the blessings of God and the pronouncement of these benedictions. And the benediction that we wish to consider today is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14, as a matter of fact. That verse is the last verse of the two Corinthian epistles, the 2 Corinthian epistle, the last verse in the epistle. It's a very familiar benediction. Here it is. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. I recall as a child, in attending a church service where the pastor took particular interest in children. I loved the man, and he was a very dignified man. And at the close of each service, he would raise his right hand in the attitude of blessing, and he would say, "And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost rest and abide with you now and forevermore. Amen." Well, it was, as a child, that meant to me to look around to find my coat and my cap, because I knew the service was over. But it just seems that Paul cannot close his epistles without a benediction. And how lovely it is, these pronouncements of blessing. Now, this is remarkable in a number of different ways. It's remarkable in that all three members of the Godhead are mentioned in one verse of Scripture. Doesn't that strain the words to convey to us the glories of the triune God? Now notice, please, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Ghost, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are all encompassed in one verse of Scripture. This makes it a remarkable thing, a remarkable verse, because there are just a few verses in the Bible that do contain the Trinity, the entire Trinity, in one verse. Now, it's remarkable for another reason. The Apostle Paul was not highly esteemed in the church at Corinth. He came to Corinth in the simplicity of the gospel. He tells us in the first epistle, "I was determined not to come to you in the pompous way of words that they so appreciated, being Greeks." And after all, Greece was the center of learning in that day, and the Greek philosophers are still quoted. But Paul did not pander to their pride. He did when he came to Greece. Corinth, particularly, he approached them in the simplest language, that their faith should not rest in human oratory, but in the facts of God, and facts can be very simple. Now, they did not esteem him as they should have. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, Paul is the speaker, and he says, "I may not seem as if I would terrify you by letters. For his letters, say they," the Corinthians, "are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible." Now, what does he do to these Corinthians that don't esteem him highly? He gives them the sweetest benediction, I think probably, in all the Bible, this one that we have read. Now, it's remarkable, too, in that each member of the Trinity is related to us in a special way. It's the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is the love of the Father. And it is the communion, or the sharing, or the partnership of the Holy Spirit that is mentioned. Now, I think probably in these three ways we appreciate the different members of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, in the very best possible way. But let's think now, if you please, of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. We appreciate it so much. We're going to consider ourselves we're going to consider first in the matter of his saving grace, to a verse in the 2 Corinthians epistles, chapter 8 and verse 9. Here it is. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye might through his poverty be made rich. Now our Lord Jesus Christ was rich in a bygone eternity, but he came into this world as a poor man. He was poor by the standards of that day. Our Lord Jesus Christ could say, and he did say on one occasion, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. The Lord Jesus Christ never owned a square foot of this earth, the earth that he created. He was a poor man, but that was not the depths of his poverty, his life on this earth. The depths of his poverty were at the cross. I think the depths of his poverty were expressed in that plaintive cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You know, the poorest people in this world have friends, but our Lord Jesus Christ was forsaken upon the cross by his Father. Why? Because he was bearing our sins, and his Father could not look upon our sins except to judge them. Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and the Father had to forsake him that he might eternally accept us. The Lord Jesus was rich, but yet for our sakes he became poor. And this speaks of his grace, the wonderful grace of God. Ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye, through his poverty, might be rich. And I'll tell you, when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and accept him as our Savior, we do not realize how rich we have made ourselves instantly. They talk about the lotto, instant wealth. Believe me, it pales into insignificance by the wealth that we gain the moment that we trust our Lord Jesus Christ. But now let's think of the love of God, if you please. The love of God, how great. And I can't think of a better verse than John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The love of God is so precious to us because that led him to give his Son to die on the cross for you and for me. The love of God furnished our salvation in the death of his own Son. I cannot comprehend this. I have two sons, grown, now fathers and even grandfathers. I have two sons. They're very precious to me. I could not think of giving either one of them for an enemy, and that's exactly what God did. He gave his Son to us, Son for us, rather, and he gave his Son to us when we accept him. But he gave his Son for us when we were enemies. That's the measure of the love of God. And then I think of the epistle of John. John is still the writer in 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Notice, please, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now there are three tenses in this verse, past, present, and future, and they all have to do with the love of God. I'll read the verse again, and you'll immediately recognize them. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Now, that's past tense. He bestowed that love upon us when he gave his Son to die for us, before we ever knew him, before we were ever born. Now, the present tense is this. Beloved, now are we the sons of God by his love, and we share that love. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we are now his sons. and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now that is the future conforming to the image of Christ. It has been well said that God so loved his Son, thought so much of his Son, that he wanted millions in heaven exactly like him. And it's the business of God to conform us to the image of his Son by the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8, that wonderful chapter. We are being conformed to the image of God's Son. That's the work of the Spirit of God. That's part of the work of the Spirit of God. It's not the work that we have mentioned here in 2 Corinthians, in our verse that we are expounding, but it is indeed just as much a part of the grace of God and the communication of the Holy Spirit to conform us to the image of his Son. Let's think about that Spirit. He is the liaison member of the Trinity. He communicates with us. We read here, and the communion, or the communication of the Holy Ghost with you all. Now, the communication here is the sharing of the Christ with us, conforming us to the image of Christ. He expounds the Word of God to your soul and to mine. We read this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The word there is, as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. We read down in verse 13, but which things we also speak, not in the words which men's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. What a blessing that the Spirit of God communicates with our spirits of Christ. And the more we learn about him, the more we see of Christ in the Scriptures, the more we become like him. It has been well said, we become like those that we admire. And the Spirit of God's ministry is to bring Christ before you and for me, before me, and it's in collusion with the Father, of course, because it's the Father's wish that we might be conformed to the image of his Son. And as we see Christ, as we admire Christ, we become like Christ. This is expounded so fully, which we cannot touch upon in the short compass of this broadcast, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. We are made, we are transformed into his image by just contemplating Christ. That's the Spirit's work. How gracious. I just want to read this wonderful benediction once again, and just let your soul bask in the light of it. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Our Father, we pray today in the name of the Lord Jesus that this verse may assume its proper proportion in our thinking. In Christ's name, amen.